Hey now, I don't need your help, but if you want to pick me up, go right ahead. Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Missed hour number one. It was a strong hour. A lot of content, good topics, and a great, great conversation with Wesley Woodyard, Tennessee Titans linebacker, Tennessee at Kansas City. AFC Championship game, CBS game, we're all over it. And again, the NFL on CBS has a special two-hour show. And I'll be back there for that. Looking forward to it. This particular program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, look at that beautiful day in L.A. We are live in Southern California. Great to be here. Coming up next segment, Dana White joins us to break down the showdown between Cowboy and Connor. I just gave you my thoughts on that. It is a Connor fight week. Fight week's always great for UFC, but even better when it involves Connor McGregor. Is there ring rust? He looks good. He sounds good. Is he back? Can you come back? We'll get into all those things with Dana White. Coming up in the third hour, the head basketball coach at Illinois, Brad Underwood, 1-800-636-8686 is the number you want to call right now. You can follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. Hey, do me a favor, hit me up on Instagram. I'll try to give you some things there. I post pics there. I do some things there that are not on Twitter, that are not here. Hit me up on Instagram. Just follow me on Instagram. Get that number up a little bit. And also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so let me change up for you. New topic, new hour. Did you see the Orlando Magic? Did you see what they did to the LA Lakers at Staples last night? Better question, did you see Aaron Gordon doing what he did to the LA Lakers at Staples last night? Because if you did not see that, you need to see that. If you did see that, it's time to see it again. Roll it.
Vucevic swings it to Gordon. He'll attack. Aaron Gordon drops the hammer in Los Angeles.
Throw it down, big man. Damn, that was dirty. If you like that, if you like absurd explosiveness and ridiculous dunks, I've got good news for you. I've got good news, in fact, for the entire league. Because the moment we have been waiting for has nearly arrived. The Pelicans announced yesterday that basketball Christmas is officially set for January 22nd. If you've been paying attention, you've seen the shoot around or the practice highlights, your anticipation was probably building. You knew it was coming. It was only a matter of time. And then Pelicans executive VP of basketball operations, David Griffin, told the media yesterday that when is January 22nd. That what? Is the Zion Williamson NBA regular season debut. And this is real. This is not a drill. I repeat, Zion is going to make his NBA regular season debut at home Wednesday against San Antonio. Hell yeah! Let's go. It is nearly Zion time. Zion Day is less than a week away. So let me really quickly recap the timeline. Zion had surgery on the meniscus in his right knee on October 21st. The initial expectation was he would be ready by Christmas, but the team did not want to rush anything. Then he returned to full practice January 2nd, and then he participated in five-on-fives January 7th. But since then, because of the game schedule, the team has not had enough time for more practices. Griffin, though, had this to say about the timeline.
This process has been one that's been really, really good. We've learned a lot more than we've probably taught him, frankly. But he's getting to the point where we actually think he's as ready as he believes he is. So everything's moving in the right direction.
So I see what they did. They took their time. They did their work, not just on the knee, but on everything.
You're addressing ankle flexion, and then you're addressing knees and hips and back and everything else. And I think what's happened is his overall kinetic chain is in a much better position now because of this. And it starts with the fact that he's more flexible. And then once you make somebody more flexible, you have to give him the strength to control that flexibility. And that's been a dance. It really has been. But he's now able to do some things physically he wasn't able to do before.
Whoa. You heard what he just said. He's now able to do some things physically that he was not able to do before. Like, based on what we saw at Duke, and even on what we saw in the preseason, it looked like there was pretty much nothing that Zion could not physically do. And now you're telling me that he can do some things physically that he was unable to do before. What couldn't he do before physically? The guy can do everything. Remember this?
He's looking for help, and Williamson comes up with the steal, and there he goes!
I mean, the guy could do that. What could the guy do now that he couldn't do before? Remember when he did this?
Two players converge. Barrett emerges.
Well, let's see. Who got it? Well, there's no question about that one. Zion got the block.
Zion did get the block and nearly impaled himself on the glass in the process. You remember when he did that? How about, do you remember when he did this?
Top 10, good pass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He might have the whole top 10 to himself by the end of it.
How about that pass?
I reset these highlights. I hope you're watching on CBS Sports Network. They're amazing. They're amazing. And I reset them because David Griffin just said he can now do some things that he was not able to do before. And I'm saying, what could the guy not do before? You see, because of his absence, I practically worn out the tape on these clips, reminding myself of what we saw last year. Did that look like a guy who was physically limited? Did that look like a guy who had a couple of things that he was not able to do? Hell no. And he showed it again in Summer League when he absolutely ragdolled New York Knick Kevin Knox.
Blew it inside. Robinson tapped it out to Knox. Zion rips it. Oh, yeah, it's time to get in the gym.
Ragdoll. Time to get in the gym. So the reason I'm setting this up like this is, again, you're telling me that he can do things now that he was unable to do before. Yeah, like what? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, that doesn't really even add up or compute. Yet there's one more detail, according to Griffin.
Yesterday, the work that Zion did was as good as I've seen to this point, better than he was in the preseason. So we feel like he'll be a bigger, better version of himself.
A bigger, better version of Zion. Hey, I didn't know that was possible. If it's true, that's amazing. If that's true, look the hell out. And the crazy thing is, the way the Pelicans have been playing of late, the way the West is shaping up, Zion might not only come back and play, Zion might come back and play and help them in the postseason, help them to the postseason. They're only four games back, and there are a number of teams that they do have to jump, but they could do it. They could. And then you'd be looking at a Zion-LeBron matchup, possibly in the first round. Zion and LeBron in the first round. To quote my old man, Van Smack Sr. back in the day. How's that grab you? How's that grab you? Except, yeah, I say that for something good. He would always say that to me for something bad. Like, how about, hey, you know what? I think you're looking at a one-year grounding. How's that grab you? Yeah, that'd be great, old man. Oh, really? Now you got 2 years. How's that grab you? Not as much as the last one did. Yeah, now you got three. You're grounded for 3 years. How's that grab you? It sucks, Dad. You're grounded till you're 50. How's that grab you? All right, I'm done. Peace out. You win. Anyway, I don't want to get too carried away. I don't want to set the bar too high. But it's hard to stay down at this point. The wait has been long. The wait has been hard. We're now 6 days away from basketball Christmas. And from the sounds of things, it's going to be worth the wait. Let's go. Let's bleep and go. Six more days. A bigger, better, more explosive, more flexible Zion. 1-800-636-8686. We have that. We have Conor McGregor fighting this weekend. We have the AFC Championship this weekend. We have the NFC Championship this weekend. We've got Odell Beckham giving money to the players. And maybe giving a cop a pat on the rump. We have an arrest warrant, maybe. I don't know what happened there. I need more information. I am not rushing in and judging that situation without more information. Period. All of these things. one 800 636 8686. Also, I posed the question yesterday. We knew that AJ Hinch was out. We knew that Alex Cora was out. My question about baseball's cheating scandal, if it was player-driven, what about the players? Why are we not hearing about that? And where does it leave Carlos Beltran? He was right in the middle of that, and now he's the Mets manager. So what about him? Hinch is out, Cora's out, and now the latest from Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan tweets, Carlos Beltran is out as New York Mets manager due to his involvement in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Sources tell ESPN he is the third manager to lose his job in the fallout. It's insane. I'm not even saying that they're not getting what they deserve because they are, but those are three quality baseball people, three extremely well-respected baseball people, out on the bricks, out on their heads in like 48, 72 hours, done. AJ Hinch out. Cora out. Carlos Beltran out.
Hit the bricks, pal.
And so far, nothing's happening to the players in a player-driven scandal. Wow. All right, so when we come back, phone lines will be open. Before I get to your calls, though, a conversation with Dana White, UFC president, and I want to get his thoughts on what he thinks about Conor McGregor, what he expects from McGregor, what he makes of McGregor showing up on time, being respectful. All of that coming up next with Dana White. So it's definitely winter. And the thing about winter is it's scary on the outside, but it is beautiful and it is cozy on the inside, especially when you're staying indoors with Casper. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, duvets, Casper transforms the way we all sleep. It keeps us cozy all season long, too. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. That's because the four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. And the zone support will keep your back aligned with extra support. From bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And as always, Casper has free shipping and returns, so start waking up on the right side of the bed. Go to Casper.com, use the code COZY. Your code is COZY, and get 10% off any purchase with a mattress today. Casper.com, code COZY for 10% off the entire mattress order. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are rolling right through hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. Good to be with you on this Thursday, a busy Thursday. As promised, we are joined right now by the UFC president. He is a friend of the program, UFC 246, McGregor v. Cowboy, Saturday, live from Vegas on pay-per-view. We are joined by Dana White. Dana, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good, Dana. So we're 48 hours out, McGregor versus Cowboy. First off, how is your fight week going, and how much are you looking forward to this card?
It's been good. It's been smooth. Conor McGregor has been an absolute pro to deal with this week. He's been showing up on time for everything. The press conference between him and Cowboy yesterday was very cordial between those two, and very interesting week.
Danny, you hit on two key things that I wanted to ask you about. Number one, Conor and Cowboy did have their face off yesterday at the presser, but they were all smiles after it. They shook hands. There was no trash talk between the two of them. What do you make of that scene, and what's your sense as to the vibe between the two fighters? For instance, do they genuinely like each other, or is Conor playing his normal mind games?
Who knows with Conor, but I think one of the things that you could tell with Conor at the press conference yesterday is he's actually happy to be here. He's happy to be back. I think with the Khabib press conference and some of the fights, you kind of felt the wheels coming off the bus a little bit. And, you know, it's good to see Conor back and happy to be here.
It's one thing, Dana, for the wheels to come off the bus, another for him to try to run a dolly through the bus, so that's a good thing. Hey, Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you just say, and I thought that I saw this, Connor pretty much was on time for that press conference. What do you make of that?
He was on time for everything that he's done this week. Everything that he was supposed to be at, he's been on time. He's been a pleasure to work with my staff. Everything's been perfect, man.
All right, so you've also made the point that tickets have been so in demand that you do not have enough for the fighters who are interested, and you've even had to turn down numerous celebrities. What is the buzz among the fighters for this fight? For instance, are they wanting to see what Connor has, or are they wanting to show up so they can see Cowboy beat him up?
You know, I think there's a little bit of both, but there's something special about being live at a Connor McGregor fight. There's a buzz and an energy that you don't get at different fights. And you know, that's why this thing isn't even a title fight for the main event. $10.6 million gate. We've been opening up kills, you know, production kills, and putting tickets back on sale all week. So it's been phenomenal.
Dana White, UFC president, joining us. You've got UFC 246, McGregor and Cowboy, Saturday night live from Las Vegas. So obviously, Dana, Connor has not had a fight since UFC 205. That was a long time ago. Lots of reports about how he feels great. I think that he looks great from what I've seen. Do you have any idea what to expect from him, though, when he steps into the cage?
Yeah, supposedly he's in great shape right now. Our UFC doctor said it's the best shape he's ever seen him in. And I don't know what to expect. You know, I'm a big believer in ring rust, and he's been off for a while. And he's only fought at 170 pounds twice. He won one and he lost one. He's a 145-pound champion. Many people thought he couldn't do it at 155. He did, made it look easy when he won the title. But 170 is a completely different animal.
It certainly
Cowboy
is.
Cerrone has fought all the best in the world, has fought at 170 for a long time. He can win so many different ways, punch, elbow, knees. He's got more head kick knockouts than anyone else in UFC history. And if it goes to the ground, Cowboy Cerrone is nasty on the ground. Vegas has him at a 3.5-to-1 dog. It's ridiculous.
I was going to say, Dana, with all the focus on Connor, because it is a Connor week, are people underestimating and sleeping on the Cowboy?
Yes. I mean, they totally are. I've never seen such disrespect for a guy that has done so much and been around for so long and has broken just about every record UFC has.
Dana White joining us. The other thing, Dana, about the Cowboy, he said, quote, everyone always says, Cowboy, can you fight the big fight? Can you ever make it on the big fight? Well, mother bleeper, here's the biggest one. Let's see. End quote. What do you make of that rap as it relates to the Cowboy, and how badly do you think he wants to change that?
Yeah, and I think he gets that rap because he's been around for so long. He's beat so many of the best in the world, but he's never won a world title. So every time he gets to that level, right now he's the number 5 ranked guy in the world. McGregor is number 4 in the world. You know, a win over Conor McGregor this weekend will be massive for Donald Cerrone and put him in title contention.
All right, so what about Conor? If Conor wins that fight, how big is that for him and where does that leave him?
Huge. He gets what he's been waiting for. He gets what he's been asking for. He has been chomping at the bit for the Khabib rematch. And I think it's no big secret. If he wins this weekend, he will get that shot at the title, and it will be the biggest pay-per-view ever in UFC history.
But so in terms of pay-per-view, he told ESPN that he thinks that he might make $80 million off this fight. 80, Dana. How accurate does that number sound to you?
Yeah, listen, he's making a lot of money, and he's a partner in the upside. And if you look at all the ancillary things that happen off a massive fight like this, his whiskey, I'm sure he sells more whiskey when he's fighting. He's got massive sponsorship deals with sponsors. He has his own clothing line, August McGregor, and the list goes on and on. So when Khabib beat Conor McGregor in that last fight, you know, when he got back to Russia, stuff that was given to him, then he did that whole Middle Eastern Muslim tour where every sheikh down there was handing him money. I mean, the money that comes off a big win like this, it's massive.
Danny, go back to his August McGregor clothing line. You and I are both David August guys. How come we don't have a clothing line?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Because we're not Conor McGregor, I guess.
I was going to say, I know why, because I don't have that left hand. I do not have that left hand. Listen, Dana, before you go, you and I have discussed this over the last few years. Conor has been through so much outside of the cage since that last win, a lot of it self-inflicted. In the embedded series, it seems like he's in a really good place. He's talked about how experience is the best teacher. If you had to guess, where do you think he is mentally and emotionally? In other words, does he seem like a different guy to you, or is he telling us what we want to hear?
Well, here's the thing. You know, Jim, you've been in the game for a long time, and this is the classic story of the guy who had no money and became incredibly wealthy and incredibly famous overnight, globally famous, overnight. And, you see them start to crash and burn and lose it. Now, the question is always, can somebody pull out of this and get their, get their life back together and make a comeback? And it looks like right now Conor McGregor is on track, and he looks good. All the signs point that, he's healthy mentally, physically, and emotionally. Now the question is, can he win this fight on Saturday?
All right, so how do you see it? You touched on this, Dana, that the Cowboy's not getting enough respect. If it goes to the mat, he's got a good shot. If he can survive that early onslaught from Conor McGregor, how do you see the fight going?
Yeah, the other thing is that Cowboy is really long and lanky, and he lands those knees from everywhere. He can throw when a guy comes in to throw punches on Cowboy, he throws these nasty knees to the body, to the face. Conor has a lot of things that he's going to have to deal with Cowboy Cerrone that he's never dealt with before, because he's never fought a guy that long and rangy with those set of tools.
All right, so final question. The card also has the rematch, Dana, of Holly Holm and Raquel Pennington. Holm is coming off that loss to Amanda Nunes, who, by the way, we had her on the show finally. She's unbelievable. She is great. But
I love that girl, man. She is the GOAT, and she is an amazing human being.
She really is. I want to say, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, because she is one of the toughest human beings I've ever seen, but she's just got such a great way about her. I mean, like, she's charming. She is so interesting. But in terms of the fight on Saturday night, you have Holly Holm trying to come back from that loss to Amanda. What are you expecting to see from Holly on Saturday night?
Yeah, so this is a fun fight, because both of these two love to stand and trade. They both have big punches, and their last fight went to a split decision. So, obviously, a very important fight for both of these girls. Holly Holm, after the win over Ronda, is still very much a big star, and people love to see her fight. So, big fight for both these girls.
He is the president of the UFC, UFC 246, McGregor versus Cowboy, Saturday night, live from Las Vegas on pay-per-view. Dana, always good to have you on the show. Have a great weekend, and it's great to have you back.
You too, my friend. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, too, Dana. Always appreciate it. Dana White. So it's one thing to have fight week. It's another to have a Conor fight week. Nothing like it. Not a title fight. Doesn't even matter. So what do you expect? What do you think we're going to see from Conor McGregor come Saturday night? Are you down? Have you thrown down? Are you ready for that fight? I'm going to be in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. I've already ordered the fight. I'll be checking it out. All right, when we come back, I will open it up to you. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. But first, here is your bottom of the hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks to Dana White. All right, so I've given you my thoughts. You've heard his thoughts. Where do you come out? What's going to happen this weekend? UFC 246. Next time you want a protein snack, be sure to ditch the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your cravings for a snack that satisfies. Be sure to ask for it by name, because no other jerky does compare. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so let me open it up to you. Got an email I want to read. Dear Rome, Dana White, and the week of a good UFC card. It does not get any better than that. Conor, Holly, Anthony Pettis are all on the card. They all have jungle karma. B. between the off-field antics and on-field disappointments of the NFL, it's hard to see how a normal, hard hat, and lunch pail type of guy would even bother watching. These guys don't tolerate weenies on the job site, so why should they tolerate them in their spare time? With all respect to Kansas City, the real athletes will be in Vegas this weekend. Sincerely, dyed goatees, using a coupon at Hooters, 5 sprays of any cologne, telling your girlfriend, quote, those were just novelty business cards from models in Vegas. Antonio Brown and ocular discharge. War Conor McGregor bringing nunchucks to the weigh-in. War fan voting to award equalizers in real time. Joaquin's back. All right, so before I pose the question, this guy attempts to answer it. I mean, has Joaquin ever run out of material? He's been doing this for years. Literally years. Every time I have Dana White on, he chases it like that. If I have a fighter on, sometimes he chases it like that. But inevitably, if there's a Dana White interview, he will show up like that. Hey, Jim, I believe Joaquin is running out of ideas. His last few efforts have been uninspired. Yours? Bon Jovi lyrics. War, have a nice day. Have a nice day. You in West LA. I couldn't respect that guy any more than I do, honestly. You literally could make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars off something as trite as that. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. This dude should write a song. How are you? How about this? I got an idea for a song, John. Sup? Have Sup? A nice day. Have a nice day. It's incredible. That thing go platinum, that go gold. I mean, all the above. Have a nice day. I always thought that writing music or writing a song would be the hardest thing in the world. Not really. Not if you can just say, have a nice day. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Matt in Vancouver tweets, apparently there really is a fun police, and they are in Louisiana. We're countries where you don't have to wait until you're in your 20s to enjoy a celebratory beer like a grown-ass adult. And he's got his little Canadian flag there. Way to go, Nuck. Matt in Vancouver's still coming around. I like it. He does make it better. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Find me a telephone call, Adam Hawk. See if you like anything. Let's go to Houston. Jerome is in H-Town. Jerome, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the vine, Vance Mac. Love your show as always. I tell you, since it sucks so bad, and I know that's not a take, saying something sucks is not a take, but when all of your 3 major sports teams totally suck, that is a take. Anyway, so because they all do so badly, I'm rooting for the old Houston Oilers, the Tennessee Titans, to ugly up that game against Kansas City and get to their second, you hear me, Houston sports fans, which I've been for 45 years, they will go to their second Super Bowl while you're still trying to get past a championship game. And that's all I've got to say. I'm so upset with this city's team. So I'm just going to have to let you go. Thanks, Jerome.
You got it, Jerome. Rack him, Alvy. He said, I understand. I know this show. I know the rules of the show. Saying something sucks is not a take, but all 3 of our major teams suck, and it sucks, so that is a take. He said, I think I'll talk about the Titans. We can talk plenty about the Titans. It's amazing what they've done the last several weeks. They've gone on the road. They've made their statements. They get it done. And again, I want to reset really quickly. The Hall of Famer, Bill Cowher, came on the show yesterday. And I said, give me some initial thoughts. What do you think about that matchup? We'll all be together in Kansas City for the 2-hour special pregame show of the NFL on CBS. And he said, my early thoughts are, it's like a championship fight. styles make fights. And Bill Cowher on this show yesterday made the analogy that it's kind of like George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. Foreman with the heavy hands, the knockout punch, the power. That's Tennessee. That's Derrick Henry. And then you got Muhammad Ali on the other side. Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes? Styles Mahomes? Do make fights. That's going to be a great fight. And I don't want to give it away because I've got thoughts on that matchup. And I'm going to give you my prediction of that matchup on the NFL and CBS. I think it would stand to reason that if Tennessee does what they've done and they get the ball in Derrick Henry's hands, he's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt you, and he's going to keep the ball out of your hands, and they're going to move the chains, and he's going to bludgeon you, and he's going to run downhill, and he's going to get better and stronger as the game goes along. We've seen this. Last time they played, it was in Tennessee, not Kansas City, but the last time they played, he got off. He gouged them. So there's no real secret here. But then again, I think that Kansas City is different. That was Patrick Mahomes on his first game back from injury. I think they're better defensively now than they were then. They're at home. And now my man Andy Reid is close to getting another shot. I love that game. Love that matchup. And really pumped to be a part of it in terms of the pregame show. This guy's like Unwar Antonio Brown. Ocular discharge. Joaquin still got some game. He still has something left. He hasn't run out of material yet. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim. Odell spanked a cop? Oh, was it his anniversary or something? Signed role-playing guy. Brett from Bugaha. Wore Clint Eastwood, the Lone Ranger, the Marlboro Man, and the geezer who Connor sucker-punched, all being less washed up than Cowboy Cerrone. Ooh! Brett! Listen, Dana White was saying, this guy is being overlooked. People are sleeping on him. He's dangerous. Yeah, I understand. Dana's got a fight to promote. Dana's got tickets to sell. Cerrone's still dangerous now. There are a lot of questions about him. He is older, but he's won more fights than anybody in the history of the UFC. And there are questions about whether or not he can get it done on the big stage. He acknowledged it himself. He knows this. He knows the rap. He knows the rap against him and would like nothing more than to shut people up and end that rap. But don't get it twisted, Brett. Brett, he's dangerous. He's dangerous, and he's got a shot if it goes to the mat. My question is the Cowboy going to fight tactically, intelligently? Is he going to be smart about it? Very clearly, he should get that thing to go to the ground as quickly as possible. If anything, he needs to stay out of harm's way early in the fight because, as I mentioned, Connor's got a left hand that is filled with dynamite, and he's looking to explode Cowboy's face. We've seen him do it to better fighters. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say Cowboy Cerrone is the best fighter that Connor's ever fought. He's not. He might be right when he says that Connor is his biggest test to date. But that doesn't mean that Cerrone can't win that fight. He can. And the way he can win it is to stay away from that lethal shot early on, whack away at Connor, hurt him, use his kicks, wear him out, and let the fight go longer. The longer the fight goes, the better shot he's got. He's got a chance. Dear Jimmy, gonna bump some jazz music while I take you to school. How's that grab you? Regards, Old Man Rome. See, now that's a way that he would use that. How's that grab you? Man, it sucks. Your music sucks. It doesn't grab me at all. And when I talk about jazz, I'm talking about old school jazz. My old man grew up in Boston. He's a Boston guy, my old man. Went to Brookline High School, went to Boston University. Love jazz. Like the old man would talk about how he lived in Cuba for a couple of years and worked in his factory and would go to the jazz clubs. He'd regale me with all these stories I hated. Yeah, let me tell you about the time I went to the... Yeah, I've heard that story, Dad. Yeah, I know that story. About time you're in Havana and you went to this jazz club. Did the music suck as much inside of that club as it does inside this car? Ah, tough guy. All right. What do you say we take another drive around the block and listen to it? I can't even begin to tell you. How's that grab you? I cannot tell you how many times he said to me, when you get your own car, you can listen to your own music. Get in the back of the car. We're going to bump jazz and go to antique stores. Awesome. Sounds like another great Saturday. Oh, yeah, really? How's that grab you? Because when we come back, you're going to shovel some horse crap. Because we own horses and you don't. True story. And we're going to fix some fences. Hey, Dad. Respectfully. Respectfully. You and me, we're not good at fixing crap, all right? So why are we fixing these fences? Why are you dragging ass and dragging me to the lumber store again to buy things to fix ourselves? We're not good at that. Oh, yeah, I'm good at it. And you're going to get good at it. And you just sit back there and you listen to my jazz, and we're going to fix some fences. Why do you think I had such a chip on my shoulder? It's because of that childhood. A childhood that I spent shoveling horse crap when I didn't ride, listening to jazz, which I hated, and fixing fences, which I was not good at. All true stories of my childhood in Los Angeles. Isn't that weird? All true. We had horses. We fixed fences. We shoveled horse crap, and we listened to jazz. That's the Jim Rome childhood. That's all you need to know about me. That's why I'm sitting in this chair right now. Because I promised myself I'd bust my ass 18 hours a day, if not 20, to get away from that life. The mean streets of Calabasas. Dude, don't send me tweets like that. That's taking me back to a bad place. Oh, man, he thought it was funny, too. My old man, Jay. Man, he thought that was funny. He couldn't enjoy that anymore. And I'll be very clear about this. Not smooth jazz. The jazz you get nice to. None of that. Not easy listening jazz. Yeah, that. I'd be cool with that if we had to listen to that in the back of the car. Nah. I'm talking about that old school jazz. Miles Davis, Little Coltrane. Maybe some Thelonious Monk. Oh, man, just be bopping his head, you know. Not at all embarrassed by it. Just loving how much I hated it. Wait till you get your own car, son. Which reminds me of the time that I broke his transmission on his car. That didn't go well either. All right, so with all of this, you know, and every once in a while when it's come up, when I've talked to somebody about cancer, and not to bring anybody down, and I won't, I just want to say I don't want to make it sound like I'm disrespecting my father who passed away way, way, way back in the day. I was in my late 20s. This is somebody who had leukemia. This is somebody who had cancer. This is somebody who didn't tell anybody he had cancer. Like, the craziest thing of all. You think it was crazy that he made me sit in the back seat and go antiquing with him and fix fences and shovel horse crap? This is somebody who was diagnosed with leukemia and didn't tell anybody except me and my sister and my mom. And went to work every single day and didn't tell anybody. And got treatment and didn't tell anybody. I mean, crazy stuff like that. Old school tough. Old school hard like that. So, much respect, Jay. But man, I hated your music. And antiquing, too. Why are we doing that? Man, I hated that. You know how many antique stores there are in the San Fernando Valley? Millions. Millions. On every freaking corner. Going through somebody else's crap. Man, thank goodness he was not a garage sale guy. He'd drag me off to that. Hey, what would you rather be doing? Watching football? Yes. Yes. What's that like when you're growing up? I can't believe the fights that I would have with him. I digress so much. I'm sorry. I can't believe the battles I would have with him to watch games, to watch football, to watch college football, to watch the NBA, to watch baseball. You know, good, the right stuff. Now, the fights I have now with my kid about get the hell off that PS4. Man, get off that game. Get off that game. My old man would be like, wait, you're watching a football game? Get your ass outside. Get outside. And I would. And I would. And by the way, I'd always fear him coming in the house because I knew he was coming and I knew what was coming. And the other thing was, I feared the old man. I respected him and I was afraid of him. That's why I turned out to be such a gem, because I was kind of afraid of my old man. Not that he ever lifted a hand or anything. He didn't need to. Now, my kid looks at me like, yeah, what? Yeah, I know I got 30 minutes a day on this thing, and I'm going on hour 6. What? I've done my homework. Anyway, do you feel me? Hey, I want to hear from a parent. What was your dad like? What do you like? What's your kid like? Do you make them listen to your music? I always say that, too. Like, yeah, he kids. You know what, though? My music's cool. I listen to good stuff. And you would not believe what your grandfather, who you never met. Wait, we done already? That was a good segment. All right, anyway, what's popping, Twitter? Apologies for the digression. When we come back, we'll talk some Illinois basketball. We'll get right back on track. Do not send me things that trigger me like that. Do not do that. Don't bring them to me, Hawk. Brad Underwood, when we come back.